And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. That'd be this'n. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville to Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got to pause here and for some breaking news. So you heard us talk multiple times about Senator Tuberville, who has been blocking the what they call the special order of business for military confirmations because the Department of Defense is insistent that it can use taxpayer money to pay for abortions even though the law says they can't. Just there it is. Coach says, you know what, change your policy. I'll remove my block. So all this is, by the way, is usually when these confirmations come up, it's like a gratuitous thing almost. And the Senate has to do confirmations for anybody who's receiving flag-level rank, like a general officer or an admiral. And so they a lot of times will bring these things up like in a stack. And they'll waive what's called the regular order of business by agreement, and they'll confirm them all at one time. And they'll have like 13 at a time. And these 13 generals and two admirals are hereby confirmed by the Senate after having waived special order or regular order of business. All that Tuberville has been doing is saying, I'm not going to let you get away with doing the en masse. I'm not going to agree to it. Because if any one senator does not agree, then it's blocked. It doesn't mean they can't be confirmed. It means each one has to come up on its own. Each one comes up on its own, comes to the podium, gets sponsored. Tuberville's already said, I don't have any reason not to sponsor these people or to vote for these people, but I'm not going to let you do it en masse. It's my way of saying my constituents deserve better than what you're doing. The DOD has been apoplectic. The left has been apoplectic. Why? Because he's drawing attention to the fact that they're trying to kill more babies. That's all it is. And anybody who says, this is affecting military readiness, bull crap. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know, you have no clue what you're talking about. If you served in the military, then you know that at any given time, there's going to be any number of positions around the military, at all levels, by the way, in which someone is either A, an acting commander, or B, holding a slot in interim while waiting on federal confirmation. It just happens. The organization doesn't fall apart. We don't suddenly have the sky falling around us. No. Well, so here's what happened today. Tuberville secured enough votes within the Senate to be able to break the cloture and bring in the votes to get a few of them done just one at a time so he could prove that it could be done. It was Schumer who was blocking it. Schumer was not bringing them up one at a time. He refused. He wanted Tuberville to back down. So Tuberville went out and got the support that it takes to get it done, at which point today Schumer panicked because he realized that Tuberville was about to make his point. So Schumer has just called up three of them on his own for individual confirmation, which tells me that Schumer just learned why Coach Tuberville was called the Riverboat Gambler back when he was an SEC coach. By God, thank you very much. Can I have some applause for that, Boomer? I think that was worthy of some applause. The Riverboat Gambler, that's right, the man with the thumb, he has just proven to Schumer why if someone will stick to their guns, things can actually get done. So anyway, that is breaking news happening as of we speak. I mean that just came out here in the last little bit, like in the last hour maybe. Yeah, that's awesome. So a couple more texts real quick. Chef Ben from Aniana, get Chef Ben's on it today. He says, "Hey Phil and Boomer, cooking up a harvest dinner at Mariella Vineyards in Hoax Bluff." Oh, I've been there and I've also eaten his food there. Said tickets are on sale through then. It's a pairing dinner. Food's going to be great. Here's the menu. This is Chef Ben's legit. Harvest honey crisp apple and feta salad with a cup of creamy pumpkin chowder. Maple mustard roasted chicken with autumn vegetables on a bed of long grain wild rice. And Dorado vino infused Granny Smith apple cobbler a la mode with jelly gelato. I hope I pronounced all that right. I'm not as sophisticated as Chef Ben. But anyway, there it is. Mariella Vineyards, very cool place and Going to have some good food October 26th. Like it. John from Huntsville says, I just earned 10 extra credit points. Whoop, whoop. I'm not sure how, but it may have been. I don't know. John, did I earn my points because we talked about little man hitting a grand slam or because of Coach T being the Riverboat Gambler?
Probably Coach T.
Okay. I'll take it. TL from Huntsville says, well done, Coach Tuberville. Win for the right side. There you go. All right. I got to get into my dipper here. So here the thing is, all right, it's amazing to me how sometimes people get on up there and they forget who they are. Now, not everybody. Like, I just so appreciate the fact that actor Chris Pratt, he's not gotten preachy. He is still a seemingly down-to-earth guy. And a story here on the Daily Wire came out yesterday that he is calling on people to not let 9/11 fade away from their minds. He spoke recently at a 9/11 ceremony, and he came out again, and he says, as actor Chris Pratt called on Americans to remember the feelings of unity and patriotism that swept the United States in the aftermath of 9/11. He talks about his own memories of that day. He says, don't let the 9/11 effect fade. Just a week ago, we gathered to remember the heroes and the indomitable spirit that emerged from the ashes. Let's keep that fire of patriotism burning bright, honoring the sacrifices of those who stepped up in the face of adversity. In a world that sometimes feels divided, it's crucial to remember that we are one nation, united under the same flag, indivisible. Let's carry the torch forward, ensuring that the lessons of 9/11 continue to shape our future and inspire our generations to come. That's a guy, by the way, who's up there. He's on the A-list. He's up there at the pinnacle. Right now, he is the one of the go-to guys in Hollywood. He's open about his faith. He's open about his patriotism, and he talks about how his memories of 9/11 are still very vivid, and his own brother was actually in the Army at the time, and he knew that meant his brother was going to war. I mean, that's legit. That's a guy, and I hope it never changes. Chris Pratt, I don't think you listen to the show, but if you do, or somebody knows him, tell him, keep it up, don't change. Unlike, story on the same day on Fox News, a country singer named Maren Morris, who I don't know, but Boomer does, country singer quitting the genre due to the effect of the Trump years. Singer Maren Morris claims the Trump years exposed the bigoted views of people in the country music industry, which led her to giving up on the whole genre. Kay says in an interview with the Los Angeles Times, the singer spoke about her transition away from country music over the last year, primarily blaming it on what she called the Trump years for allowing people to feel proud for being misogynistic and racist in their music. Oh, my gosh. After the Trump years, she says, people's biases were on full display. It just revealed who people really were. They were proud to be misogynistic and racist and homophobic and transphobic, and all these things were being celebrated, and it was like weirdly dovetailing with this hyper-masculine branch of country music. And she says, I call it butt rock. Okay. Boomer. All right, hang on a second. I gotta stop talking for a minute because that one just gets all over me. You worked in the country music industry. You interacted with a bunch of these stars of the industry, right?
I did, and I worked in Hollywood for a while too.
That's true. So, I mean, you have memories of people who forgot where they came from and some who did? I mean, like, remember where they came from?
I have many memories of people that forgot where they came from and many memories that people did not.
All right, without naming names, I mean, tell me, I mean, like, you worked at the CMAs, not CMAs, but the Country Music
CMAs,
Awards.
CMAs, ACMs, Grammys.
So were there, like, green room moments where their petulance came out and they wanted it just a certain way?
I mean, you'd see it in green room moments sometimes, but green room moments are usually on their best behavior because that's where a lot of cameras and other things are around, and who knows who's pulling out their phones and when and what. So usually in the limelight of, you know, when you see them, when you know that they're supposed to be on, is what we say.
Yeah.
You have to turn it on, and so then they're usually on their best behaviors. Okay. And they try to and I'm not saying this about all of them. I mean, there's some great celebrities out there that know where they came from and stand up for what they believe in and continue to do so today. But then there's some that do not, and some of them that just don't care at all.
Do you ever see any that is like, you'd look at them and go, I'm pretty sure your mama doesn't know you're that preachy about stuff that your mama doesn't believe in. I mean, do they? And granted, I understand people. I mean, when they get a name, maybe their name can help a cause, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it ain't. Part of it depends on whether you believe in the cause they believe in. But I also look at the level of preachiness, like at some of the award shows and stuff, and you think, my God, people just accept your award and say thank you.
Well, yeah, they definitely need to know where they. What their job is, you know, but you can also look at it in a different light too. And this is something that McQueen and I've talked about, even when I was in the industry, you could say is, I know who I am and I know my values and what I believe in, but when you're engulfed in something so much, and even though you stand up for what you believe in, sometimes just like we've talked about on this show, it's just pounded on top of you, and then you settle for one little thing, and then you settle maybe again, but you don't realize that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just happened to maybe some of these people.
They get inside the bubble.
They get inside the bubble, and then they start thinking that, oh, this is what I really believe, possibly, you know? And so I'm not defending anybody, because there are some people that have gone off the deep end, but then again, there are some people that probably also have just been in it so long that maybe they're just blinded.
Yeah, I would say that's true, and I saw that in politics.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw people who had been, you know, in Montgomery politics for, you know, decades, and you could tell that they just did what they did because that's what they did, and they didn't care.
Right.
And
they kind of lost sight of what their goal or values were.
Yeah.
Or are.
So let me ask you this. Did you ever see anybody, and I'm putting you on the spot with this, but did you ever see anybody sort of like, I'll tell you what, we may wind up having a break here, but we'll come back with this question.
Yeah.
Did you ever see anybody, a person of fame, suddenly get backlash because they stood out for something good or bad and the people said, know your role? I mean, did you ever see that happen? So we'll talk about that when we get back.
Sounds good.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, number one triple dipper. We're talking about ivory towers. When you get in that ivory tower, what do you do with yourself? And do you remember where you came from? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Text lines are indeed open, and people are finding it, 833-687-4448. I got a caller on the line right now, line one. I'll grab that real quick. John from Huntsville, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great, man.
Good. What's on your mind?
I always enjoy listening on my way home from work. I'm tired working part-time. Hey, along the lines of what y'all were talking about, back in the late 80s, I was working at the Christian bookstore in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and former Governor Jimmy Davis, who wrote You Are My Sunshine, maintained his office above our store, and he used to come down for coffee every morning and sharing devotionals and stuff. And one day I asked him, well, he had served as Governor of Louisiana from 1944 to 48, and then 60 to 64, and I think he may have served in the Senate. But before all that, he became popular singing in the country and Christian music and stuff. So anyway, I'd asked him one day, and I said, Governor Davis, I said, would you ever run for political office again? And his response is what I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
You know, he was a very devout Christian, and he said, well, John, he said, I would not. He said, the reason is, he said, before I went into politics, he said, I felt I was very close to the Lord. And when I went into politics, I found that to maintain that was very hard to do. It was a lot of compromise that you have to do when you're in politics, especially as a governor. And he said, so after I served my second term, he said, I determined that I would not go back in. And because after getting out of politics, he said, I found my way back to Christ. He said, I never left him, he said, but my commitment to him just kind of waned. And I said, but, you know, coming back to being so close to Christ, knowing what it would take for me to go back into politics, that I would never do that again.
Well, that's, you know, that could probably be said of a lot of professions too. But I admire the fact though that he got out of his own on his own steam, and he also knew what his priorities were, which I find admirable.
Yeah, and again, that was his purpose. He didn't recommend that for anybody else. That for him, he just felt like he was in a good place, and he didn't want to go back to where he was at. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Good stuff. Thanks, John. Appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks very much. Got a couple of texts, and I'm going back to that question with Boomer. Terry from Elgin, Alabama, talking about Coach Tuberville, says, very proud of our senator. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, says, way to go, Coach Tuberville. And the only thing affecting military readiness is Slow Joe and his administration's policies. There you go. John from Brownsboro says, with regards to the ivory tower discussion we've been having, Natalie from the Dixie Chicks got all their music banned in Alabama by criticizing George W. Bush. So I lived in Texas, and they would still play maybe one or two songs a day, but that was it. Yeah, I mean, Dixie Chicks was like riding a high, and then she has to go on stage. I think she was in London, England, and she said, we're just, what'd she say? We're not proud of our country or something like that. I forget what she said, but it was ridiculous, and it was way over the top. You remember remember that was?
I remember. I don't recall exactly what she said, but it was again, bad. Stay in your lane. Yep. Know what your job is.
And by the way,
you're okay to have your own views, but certainly, why do you have to push them on some other people?
And here's the other thing. So, how about the fact that the vast majority of the people that put the Dixie Chicks on that stage do not care for that opinion one bit?
Correct.
How about this? Know the room. Be able to read the room.
Know the room.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so I asked you a question. How did I phrase that question right before we went? Did you ever see anybody – well, there's an example. But did you ever see anybody that you saw personally receiving backlash, yay or nay, for getting out of their lane, so to speak, or getting out front on something?
While I was working with any of them, no, I did not. I mean, we had our own little issues here and there from everywhere that I worked. But, I mean, just from after I got out of the industry, and even during just with other artists or actors, I saw it, but never personally like when I was working.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, all right.
But, I mean, the biggest thing is I see a lot of is when you get these kids that are actors or actresses or artists, then they're raised all the way through it. Then you see it. I mean, that's a big trend that I see, they lose their way.
So one of the biggest examples for me that probably a lot of people don't even think of anymore because she's not an A-lister anymore, but Jane Fonda. Hmm. So my dad, who did two tours in Vietnam, was a career Army officer, my dad would not go see a movie with Jane Fonda in it, would not, because during the Vietnam War, while he was over there fighting and bleeding, during the Vietnam War, they called her Hanoi Jane because she went to North Vietnam in protest of the war while we still had troops in the field, and she posed for pictures and did all the stuff. And there was even talk, and I don't know that it's true, there was talk about whether, and she also met with American POWs. They were used as propaganda with her in the picture.
Wow.
And basically she's got way out of her lane. And so I can remember being at Fort Benning, Georgia. And in the officers' club, there was like a bar that had movie posters on the wall, and there was one of a Jane Fonda movie, but it had her name with a big black X over it, and it was obvious that she was not a loved individual.
Wow.
But yeah, that's a classic example of getting in your ivory tower, and forgetting where you came from, not being able to read the room anymore. And how about this? Stay in your lane. We're going to talk about a few more of those when we get back and wrap this topic up. But it's amazing to me how ivory towers, somehow or another, become the place where people forget where they came from. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, welcome to hour number two. I'm finishing up this topic. I'm calling it Ivory Towers. All right, so Ivory Towers, I mean, so here's the thing. Here's the rub. I've got some more examples. I mean, some that you can just, I tell you what, let me do those first and then I'll come back to my rub, all right? But the reality is you're going to see people with celebrity status. They're going to get out there and do stuff. They're going to recognize that suddenly they have a name, they have fame, they have assets, and they recognize that people care what they say, apparently. Huh. Go figure. Story here that I picked up off of, where did this one come from? The National News, dated a couple years ago, actually. Angelina Jolie. She's known as being a humanitarian. She's known as being actively involved in a number of causes involving conservation, education. She was also the special envoy for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Bono. Everybody knows Bono from U2. Bono, celebrity activist. He's a philanthropist. He's, you know, out there doing good stuff all the time and, you know, AIDS awareness and working with things like Amnesty International and Greenpeace, stuff like that. George Clooney, man, that guy's liberal as he can be. I love his movies, but he's a super lib. George Clooney, another famous philanthropist that says, active in a number of causes alongside his wife. Her name is Amal, and she's a Lebanese-born British human rights lawyer. There's a resume. Together, they work on the Clooney Foundation for Justice. They advocate for things like, get ready for it, human rights abuses, gun control, refugee crises, and LGBTQ+ rights. Okay. Then there's Jane Fonda, which I just talked about a minute ago, who, even though she's Hanoi Jane, and it blackballed her from, you know, anybody in the military caring what she was or what she did, she's still active in things like women's rights and Black Lives Matter. Leonardo DiCaprio, who preaches to us all the time about our carbon footprints because he's an environmentalist, flies on his personal jet, but there he is, Leo. Mark Ruffalo, who I think makes a great Hulk in the Marvel movies. Mark Ruffalo is a super lib, super staunch environmental activist. He's very against fracking. He's worked with a lot of groups to try and, you know, ban fracking that, you know, it's part of where we get oil and gas for the oil and gas industry. It goes on. I mean, I could just keep on naming some of these. I've got a whole list of them here. But you hear what I'm saying. And then you look at things like, does anybody watch the Oscars anymore? Does anybody care? Did you know the Oscars is still televised? Apparently, a lot of people don't. The Oscars, their ratings have so plummeted that ABC threatened to stop televising it at all, which meant that they would have lost all the revenue for the televising, and it would have gutted the Oscars awards ceremonies. But they got into this whole pretentious 3.5 hours long, and everybody who, you know, had a part in making sure that the right number of plants were on the stage and got an award for a set building had to make a speech about something liberal that drove the base away from watching the Oscars. And you think about it and you go, you know, I'm just not so sure that the fact that you did hairstyling on the set gave you a platform to tell me why I should stop believing a certain way. But yeah, it's the Oscars right now are considered to be one of the most pretentious examples of people in their ivory towers sitting inside the bubble and talking to themselves. It's the Oscars where occasionally we see those breakout moments like when Will Smith gets up there and slaps Chris Rock in the face. But most of the time, it's stuff that most of us roll our eyes at. How garish can our costumes be? Did I show enough skin when I walked the red carpet? Did I smile just the right way and look pretentious enough? Or as Boomer said earlier, was I on at the right times? Did they see me cut my eyes at the person who I don't like? You know, it's extremely pretentious. And then you see things like, I don't know, people getting up there and making speeches where it's clear they're in their ivory tower and they've forgotten where they came from. But here's the thing. Famous people are often taken serious simply because they have fame. Even their moments in fame. People want to hear what they have to say. The question is whether they abuse the privilege. And the question is not whether they are allowed to have a freedom of speech of their own, because they certainly are. And granted, there are things that Charlene and I have said, man, if we ever had the money, here's what we'd do. We'd support that thing or do something like that. And I get it. That's the kind of thing that people who have should give back for. And they are the haves and not the have-nots now. So are they going to do something with what they have? And I get it. The question is, though, are they going to become so preachy and so detached from where they came from that it's as if they were never there in the first place? And I would just challenge you to take a look and recognize that there are times when the person who is merely famous is just another person who puts their pants on both legs at a time, or one leg at a time, and then did they forget where they came from? Dixie Chicks, classic example. Dixie Chicks, classic example. I don't know who brought that up in the text lines earlier, but it was classic example. And JT from Lacey Springs wants to know, Boomer, are the Oscars the stage for your favorite thing, a participation trophy?
Participation trophies. We all know I hate those.
It's a downfall of Western society when you do participation trophies.
That's right.
Well, nonetheless. But I've met some great, and like Boomer's probably met a lot more than I have. I met some great people that were famous in and of themselves. But they just, you know, they didn't forget where they came from. One of my favorite stories was from college. When I told it on the air not long ago, when I got to escort Don Knotts. Everybody in the world, he was one of the most recognizable characters in the world. And, you know, what I found backstage when I was there to be his aide for a while was that he had not forgotten where he came from. I'll never forget, as Don Knotts is about to go out on stage, and I'm sitting backstage in the green room, and I'm just sitting over in the corner waiting in case he needs something. And he's looking at his notes because he's doing stand-up that night. And he looks over at me and he goes, "Oh, well, that's enough about my stuff. Tell me about you." And he just asked how Charlene and I were doing and what life was like, and just took an interest in this kid who was sitting backstage. He had never forgotten where he came from. I walked away from that thinking, that's what it's supposed to be like. And I so admired it. And it came back to me today as I watched some of what happens out there with people preaching at us and telling us what's what. They're just famous. They're not special. They're just famous. And if they're right, they're right. They have a right to be wrong. And we have a right not to listen. And it'd be good for them to recognize that where they came from might still matter. Just like in the Hallmark movies. All right, let's take a break, Boom. We'll do that right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I'm going to switch gears and get into the climate cult. Because that's what it is, y'all. That's exactly what it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.